السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, many many times you have heard this verse of the Quran Sharif: enter into the fold of Islam completely, O ye believers, enter into the fold of Islam completely, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. In other words, whatever are the dictates of shaitan, whatever are the temptations from shaitan's side, whatever direction that shaitan gives you, then don't follow that. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. He is your open enemy. He has declared himself as your enemy. So this verse tells us that we must enter Islam completely. In other words, if we want peace, we want contentment, we want all those promises that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made to the believers, then we have to enter Islam completely. In all aspects of our life, in all departments of our lives, whether it is our ibadat, whether it is our transactions, our buying and selling, our dealings, whether it is our muasharat, whether it is our social life, political life, economic life, whatever life, then we have to look at the teachings of Islam. If we implement that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely fulfill all those promises that He has made. Unfortunately, today we are waiting for those promises to be fulfilled which Allah Ta'ala has made to the believers, but we do not want to bring deen into our lives. Complete deen. We are satisfied with a little bit of namaz, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of deen work, and we think that we have done our duty. No doubt Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being Rahmatul Lil Alameen, he gave us that glad tiding or that basharat because he was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He told the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majma'in that you are living at a time that if you miss out on 1/10 of deen, then you will be reprimanded, you will be accountable, you will be punished, you will be called to account. And a time will come when, close to Qiyamah, when people will, if they practice on 1/10 of the deen, then they will get najat. Just 1/10 of the deen and they will get najat. But that does not mean that 1/10 excludes, or in that 1/10 of namaz, or 1/10 of zakat, or 1/10 of sadaqah, of fasting, that means now we say we are close to qiyamah, we are in the days of fitna, and we heard this hadith, 1/10. So therefore Ramadan has got 30 days, we will fast for 10 days. So it's not 1/10 of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. It means that those things which the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in used to do, which were related to the heart and which were of an optional nature, there was so much in there. There was Ishraq, Chasht, Awwabin, Tahajjud, so many other things that they used to do. If we miss out on all that and have 1/10 of all those optional ibadat, then to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us najat. And our awliya-e-kiram of the present day, they say that in these times, if you want to become the Junaid and Shibli, then stay away from haram and fulfill your farais, wajibat, sunnat, and you are the Shibli and Junaid of the time. Because the fitnas are so extensive, all around these fitnas. So therefore Allah Ta'ala made the nisab also easy for us to become His awliya. Just about 10 days ago, I think it was on the Friday, that at the masjid in Karachi, Hazrat Mullah Akimad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum asked me to give the Juma Bayan. So I will give you a few things that were mentioned in that Bayan. Of course, you may have heard them before also, but to refreshen our memories. Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, I mentioned in that Bayan that Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated that for any salik, any person who wants to connect himself with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the person who says, I'm on suluk, I want to tread this path of tasawwuf, or I want to develop my iman, I want to get my connection right with my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the first thing that is essential is that his aqaid must be correct. His aqaid, it is extremely important that they must be correct. If the person's aqaid and beliefs are shaky, he does not have a firm conviction and belief in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and in the sifat and the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this person, no matter what kind of a'mal he does, what kind of actions he brings into his life, but the thing is that foundation is shaky, so therefore it is that building is not going to stand, it's going to collapse any time. So his yaqeen and his belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be very, very firm and very, very strong. There must be no doubt in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's existence and in Allah ta'ala being almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, being Razzaq, the provider of sustenance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all those sifats which have been mentioned, walillahi asma'ul husna. So the asma'ul husna, what is it? All the sifats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the person must have firm yaqeen and faith in those sifats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and in the existence of Allah ta'ala in His oneness. Then in the risalat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the prophethood of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he must have his yaqeen, he must have his iman. When he has got his iman on the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, tawheed, and on the risalat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he must be prepared to accept all those things which have been given by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore in Iman and Mujmal, in our early days of madrasa, in the maktab, the first thing that we are taught is Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. I believe in Allah as He is, with all His names and qualities. Wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi, and I have accepted all of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's orders. I accept all His orders. At that stage, the child is not even mukallaf. No namaz is farz on the child, no roza is farz, no zakat, no hajj is farz. The child is what we term as marfu'ul qalam. He's not going to be questioned for whatever he is doing or she is doing. But yet at that age, we are teaching that child that you believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as He is, with all His names and qualities, and you accept all the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. From that age we are developing this idea and we are training this child that sooner or later you will become baligh, you will become mukallaf. So from the age of 3 or 5 you have already started saying this dozens of times, Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi. So now implement it into your lives. So this is the first thing that is important, Tawheed and Risalat. All the other things follow after that. Everything else comes because of our belief in Tawheed and in our belief in Rasul-e-Pak and Risalat. So whatever he brings from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are going to accept. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that this is the most important thing for a salik. If he doesn't have that foundation right, then he will never be able to put up a very good, strong, powerful, long-standing building on that foundation. It is going to shake, it is going to fall. A little temptation here and there, and the person will lose his iman. So that is a subject on its own. We have to discuss Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sifat and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's risalat, then it is a whole subject. But our majlis is a majlis of islah and a majlis of tazkiyah and tarbiyah. So therefore, we are just limiting ourselves to this much, that it is essential for each and every person who says, I want to get my connection right with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to have that yaqeen in Allah ta'ala's zat and sifat and in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's risalat. The finality of the prophethood of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is an important part of the belief of a Muslim. In fact, there's no iman, there's no Islam without that belief. We believe that there is no need for another prophet, and no other prophet came after Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doors of prophethood were completely closed. We do not believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a seal of prophet's means, that he had some kind of seal, as Mirza Ghulam Qadiani said, that he had a seal, which means that it was a seal, that he could make more prophets with that seal, na'uzu billah, to open the door for his prophethood, na'uzu billah. So we believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was Khatamun Nabiyyin. Nevertheless, the second thing that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says is essential in the life of anyone who is a salik, who wants to get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is that he must have sufficient amount of knowledge of halal and haram, jais and najais, what is permissible and what is not permissible. He must have that much knowledge which is relevant to his profession, to his work, to his life. Then whatever he is engaged in, then he must have that much knowledge of halal and haram that he can differentiate. He can say, well, this is halal, this is haram. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, talabul halal faridatun ba'dal farida. The earning, talabul kasbul halal faridatun ba'dal farida. So kasbul halal, the earning of halal livelihood, is farz after the other farais. So how will that person earn halal if he does not know what is halal? The person must have sufficient knowledge of what is halal, so that when he's running a business, he knows that this transaction is halal, this transaction is haram. So sufficient knowledge of halal and haram in all aspects of his life, what is halal, what is haram. It is definitely important, or it is necessary, it is incumbent upon a salik to have that knowledge. If he doesn't have that knowledge, then he will grope in darkness. He will never be able to connect himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because he'll be falling into haram and he will not even know that he is falling into haram. So this is another essential condition, which means that just listening to a little bit of bayan and waz is not enough. We have to then make an effort to start learning about our namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, transactions, about our muasharat, akhlaq, everything, whatever deals with halal, haram, all those things we have to acquire the knowledge of. Find some alim, find person who is prepared to teach, or get those books which are available now. We have got no more excuses that books are not available in English, therefore we cannot learn. Whatever you don't understand, we can always find out. But just as we have got so much of time for our newspapers, our magazines, our television, and all idle chit-chat, then something that will be essential for us, for salvation, why should we not find time for that? Our Quran Sharifs are now kept on the shelves. In Ramadan we will open and read the Quran Sharif for sawab. Whereas it was hidayat. So we have got time for everything. So much of time that some people read from cover to cover every newspaper that they can lay their hands on. Novels running into hundreds of pages, they will be reading from cover to cover. Hundreds of pages. Comics, magazines, anything you can think of. But when we say that learn deen, then we say we do not have the time. So that is essential. He says second thing that is essential in the life of the salik is that he must have the knowledge of halal and haram. Without that, he must forget, it is a dream that he will get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In whichever profession, whatever work, whatever job he is in, he must know what is halal, what is haram. Going on to the third point, he says that the person who is a salik, it is accepted that as a human being he will sometimes make a mistake, commit some sin. But he should not purposely go towards sins. Again, the same point Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, that great shaykh of his time, now he's mentioning the same thing which we have been going on and on emphasizing, that all our wazifas, they do not seem to be bringing the desired results. We say the wazifas are not having any effect. The duas are not taking effect. Our homes are still homes which we can call Jahannam on earth. Family life, there's so much of disunity, there's so much of friction, there's so much of anxieties and worries and restlessness in people's lives because we do not want to give up sins. Now Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying the same thing. The Holy Quran Sharif tells us the same thing. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. So many times you have heard this ayat. That the person who will turn away from my remembrance, in other words, he will not fulfill my ahkam, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that we will make his life miserable. Allah Ta'ala will make that person's life miserable. And who can escape the clutches of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? If Allah Ta'ala says, I am going to do this, is there any force in the world that can prevent Allah Ta'ala from doing it? The volcanoes and the earthquakes and the tremors, as one young girl wrote to me recently, she says, Maulana, when I was involved in illicit relationship and all other haram TV programs and other things, those volcanoes, those earthquakes and those tremors, as you have mentioned in your bayan, were definitely rocking and shaking my heart. Those tremors were affecting my heart, as you always mention in your bayan. And when I gave up those sins, then I found such sukoon, such peace, such contentment, such happiness, that I cannot even describe it. Now this is going on and on in so many letters, ample evidence that once you give up sins, then you start finding peace. But if you want that, both things must carry on. Razi rahe Rahman bhi, khush rahe Shaitan bhi, then that won't happen. We can't please both. We can never please both. We have to please one Allah. And Allah Ta'ala made it so easy for us that He said, you just please me, that's all, one. If Allah Ta'ala, if we had to believe in many, many Allahs, it would have become so difficult that one day we have to please the Allah of health, one day we have to please the Allah that gives sustenance, one day we have to think of pleasing that Allah that gives the properties, and that Allah Ta'ala who removes sicknesses and diseases. How many different Allahs we would have been trying to please. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it so easy for us. Just please me. Just one Allah we have to please. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes upon Himself to please us. Barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge. Barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge. Wo mere dil na shaad ko shaad karenge. That person who has already destroyed his heart, he has shattered his heart. It's not that the awliya-i-kiram are some kind of made out of steel or wood or they're made out of stone, that they don't have any desires in their hearts. In fact, sometimes the taqazas in their hearts are so strong for evil, shaitan makes an extensive effort. But the stronger the desire that comes in their heart, the more the noor of taqwa is lit up in their hearts, because they suppress that desire. They say that even if death comes upon me, even if I have to have a heart failure, I'm prepared to take that. But I'm not prepared to displease my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that most beautiful face that is passing across, and the desire in the heart is rising that I must take a second glance. But that person says that, no, my Allah is displeased, so therefore I'm not going to do that. So there comes a pressure on that person's heart. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala fills that heart with the noor of taqwa. Many times you have heard that when there is an earthquake or when there is a disaster in an area, the windows have been shattered, the buildings have collapsed, the government declares that a disaster area, then what happens? The government gives funds that now you can reconstruct those buildings with government funds. Why? Because it's a disaster area. So my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says that when the person, he shatters that heart of his, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares it a disaster area. And then Allah Ta'ala is not going to give him cement and going to give him some kind of sand to reconstruct that. He's now going to give him the noor of taqwa, the noor in that heart. That person will now enjoy tranquility, he will enjoy peace, he will enjoy sukoon in that heart. There will be an ocean of noor in that heart. People will not be able to see it from the outside. It will be in the inside. But in his talks, in his majlis, in his life, the person will be able to see that sukoon. That door, irrespective of what condition they are going through, but inside Allah Ta'ala is giving them such kind of contentment, such kind of sukoon, which the kings of the world do not even know. So that will come when the person takes upon himself that pressure. The desire is there that I want to see this program, I want to watch that movie, I want to go and indulge in this sin and that sin. But what is it bringing in return? Wallah, believe me, I'm in the masjid. Today, at least 5 cases I must have handled of disaster in the lives of people. You can call it volcano, you can call it earthquake, you can call it gale force winds, you can call it any kind of storm. Why? Because of illicit love relationships. where husband-wife relationships have been shattered and so many other problems have arisen. Their peace and their sukoon is gone completely. What have we got in return? What did we purchase in return for that little while of pleasure? That little while of pleasure, but what did it bring in return? No sukoon, no peace, no happiness. A life of restlessness. No respect. Respect is gone also because family members come to know about it. Once again, lazzate arzi mili izzate daimi gai. Temporary pleasure, but lifelong izzat is gone. Ye mana maasiyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Ye mana maasiyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna kya himaqat hai. I mentioned in the Juma Bayan also. Little while of pleasure. And that too like a criminal enjoying some pleasure from what he has stolen. Some goods that he has stolen, some car that he has stolen. Now he's driving that car. But what kind of pleasure is that? He may be enjoying the ride, but he's always checking in the rear view mirror that there must be no cop behind me. There must be, the owner must not suddenly spot this car. Restlessness. Or the person who's an illicit love relationship. He's looking right, looking left, looking behind him, looking all sides. The person's husband mustn't come to know if it's a woman. And the wife mustn't come to know if it's the husband. Brothers mustn't come to know. The family mustn't come to know. And if I'm in the hotel indulging in haram and in zina, then I mustn't get a heart attack there and die. What kind of pleasure is that? A person mentioned to me just yesterday that a family member died in the cinema in one of the towns. So, thodi der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Especially those who have got beards and kurtas and who have got burqas and niqabs and those who have got dini signs on them, then they must be more on guard. Because that respect, that honor that people have given to us because of our outward garb, hamesha ki nadamat hai. After that, they will lose that respect for all times. They'll say that was just a camouflage. It was just to bluff the people that this person was pretending to be a pious person. But in his actual life, there was nothing but hypocrisy. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna, ye kaisi himaqat hai. Respect and honor which Allah Ta'ala has given out of His fazl and out of His ihsan, to bury that respect and honor just for a little bit of haram pleasure, what kind of stupidity and foolishness is that? So therefore he says that that is that important thing, that this salik, he must not purposely go towards sins. And I mention again, I repeat many things because I speak in different places, I don't know which majlis I mentioned it, that many a times when we are making tawbah, at that moment that we are making tawbah, we have got no intention of giving up that sin. In a Jummah congregation or an Eid congregation, sometimes there are thousands of people. Thousands of people in Hajj, in Arafat, millions of people. And they are making tawbah. The Imam Sahib is making tawbah, istighfar, dua, and people are making ameen on that. Now the Imam is saying, Rabbana faghfir lana zunubana. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins. Or the person is saying, Zulamtu nafsi zulman kaseera. Now all those duas he is making. He is making tawbah, he is making istighfar. But at that moment in time, he has got no intention of giving up those sins. In that Jummah congregation, if that person has got those chips in his pocket for the casino, so when the Imam Sahib is making dua after the Jummah namaz, istighfar and tawbah, he is also making ameen. But he's got no intention of going and dumping those chips into the waste paper basket or into the bin or into the dirt bin. And say, well, that's the end. I just made tawbah now and I've come out. So therefore, that's the end of my going to the casino. That person who has got an appointment with his illicit love in the evening on that Jummah day, then he hasn't got any intention of cancelling that with that tawbah that he is making in that masjid. In other words, that tawbah is nothing but just a mockery. Whereas if he had a firm, he was making a sincere tawbah, then that is what would have been his reaction, that I've made tawbah, now come what may, I'm going to terminate that illicit love relationship because my Allah is displeased. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasama se. When you hide and commit sin, someone is looking at you from above. So this person believes that. He said, hum aisi lazzaton ko qabil e lanat samajhte hai, jisse doston mera rab naraz hota hai. Hum aisi lazzaton ko qabil e lanat samajhte hai, jisse mere doston rab mera naraz hota hai. That such kind of pleasures I consider as cursed pleasures with which my Rabb is displeased. What kind of a pleasure is that with which my Rabb is displeased? It cannot be pleasure. It will bring nothing but misery into the life of the person. With deep hearted pain I am telling you that alhamdulillah, I don't want your money, I don't want anything. The only thing I want is what my Shaykh always tells us, to us also. The only thing I want, he says, is that you make your Islah before your death. He says, that is all we want. Don't leave this world in a state that your Allah is displeased with you. And don't delay that Islah. A person planted a thorn tree on the pavement. An example Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives, which you may have heard. He planted a thorn tree. Now the thorn tree started growing. So the people that were passing by, because of the injury that it was causing to them, they began to appeal to him that, please, why remove this tree? So he said, tomorrow. Again they tell him, they said, tomorrow, tomorrow. Now as he kept saying, tomorrow, tomorrow, the tree grew bigger and bigger. More and more people were getting injured. Then they reported it to the municipality. So the municipality gave him notice. They said, you must remove that tree now. So he said, tomorrow. Then finally, when he had to go and remove it, he was gone old and weak, and the tree had gone very strong and the roots had gone very deep into the ground. A beautiful example he gives, that the roots of that tree had gone deep into the ground, and the tree had grown very, very strong and powerful. And in the meantime, his body, by saying tomorrow, 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 became weaker and weaker and weaker. He became feeble and old, and the tree became very, very strong. Now when he went to go and push the tree, he can't even push the tree. He hasn't the strength now to push the tree. Why? Because he allowed it to grow and allowed the roots to go deep down. From there, the lesson that he gives is this, that uproot those sins, like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu uprooted the door of Khaybar. If we are going to wait for tomorrow, what's going to happen is that that habit will become so deep in the person's life, like those deep roots, that day by day it will become more and more difficult for him to give up that sin. The more he will commit that sin, the more difficult it will become for him to give up that sin. And then finally, when he will decide to give up that sin, then he won't have the strength in his body now to give up that sin. It will become very difficult for him. Then you need a bulldozer after that, or some miracle to take place. Otherwise it becomes very, very difficult. Those people who keep on committing zina, then it's difficult for them to give up. Those who keep on watching films, haram, then it is difficult for them to give it up. So don't delay and say tomorrow, tomorrow. Let us make up our minds that we want to make our Islah, and we want it now. After that, it will take time. We don't say it will come overnight. Overnight it won't come. It won't happen overnight. But at least our niyat, our intention, our azm and our irada must be that we want to change now and now. Then of course every person must make mashwara with the sheikh's office. How must I go about it? Some of them will be in haram and they will tell them, you stay there, don't give it up now. The person says, I'm working in a bar, and I've got half a dozen children. I've got rent, light and water. accounts to meet, and I'm a poor person. This is my sole source of income. But I heard your bayan and I want to give it up tomorrow. Then we'll tell that person, no, don't give it up. But mashallah, now that you have realized, make plenty of tawbah, istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, and search for an alternate job like an unemployed person searches. That is the condition. That you must not be relaxed that I've got a job, and Maulana has said make istighfar and tawbah, so now I must carry on lifelong with this job. It doesn't mean that. Why do we tell them to remain there? Is because this person got josh with the bayan and he decided to give it up. But tomorrow when all the bills will come, and if there's nobody to help him and assist him in the payment of those bills, then that person will say, na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, you see, trying to practice on halal, this is what happened. I mean, such deep problems. So he'll lose his iman. So he'd rather keep him on sin than making him lose his iman. So it's not that they will tell everybody, give up everything today and today. But the niyat must be there. Now that person must make an effort. Allah Ta'ala has given him health. Allah Ta'ala has given him intelligence. If he can be a steward or if he can be working in the bar, then that means he can do some other jobs too. So he must search for a job as an unemployed person searches for a job. How restless that person is. He wants a job. Then Allah Ta'ala will open the doors. There are many people who are in, many who are involved in completely haram businesses. But when they made up their minds that they want to get out of it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened the doors of halal for them. It just depends which way we want it. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi says that is an essential condition. If this person wants to get connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he wants the noor of taqwa in his heart, if he wants the ma'rifat of Allah, if he wants the love of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he wants the raza and the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he has to give up haram. Haram has to be given up because it is displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Without giving up that haram, he must not see dreams of being a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Then he says that from the worldly knowledge of different professions, so in whichever profession he is, he can go and acquire as much knowledge as is essential for him. If a person is, for example, in our times, we will say that if he is doing computers, is working on computers, then the amount of knowledge that's required for his profession, if he goes and seeks that with a good niyat, nothing wrong with that. The person is an engineer, then he studies all the books on engineering, he tries to reach the highest level in that particular field with good niyat and good intention, there's nothing wrong with that. If the person is a doctor or is a physician, and he is studying medicine or the books that are available or the new technologies and he's got a good niyat, then there's nothing wrong with that. How simple, easy, practical Islam is. Just give up haram and you are connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In that just one, that statement, that guna chhod do, aram se raho, I mentioned in that bayan, that people say that what is this one statement, just guna chhod do. Now how can the whole of deen come into this one simple statement? So the whole of deen comes in this one simple statement. Just as when the person is making nikah, he says, nikah tuha wa qabil tuha. I've made nikah to her. I've accepted her in my marriage as my wife. That's about all that he has said. Now afterwards, if the wife has to say, I want clothes, he says, but I didn't talk about clothes at the time of marriage. Say, what about food? He says, no, I didn't talk about food. I just said, I'm accepting you in my marriage. So what will the person say? Say that this nakah tuha, qabil tuha brings everything inside there. So in the same way, guna chhod do, to miss namaz is guna. Not to perform namaz is guna. Not to fast is guna, sin. Not to give zakat is a sin. Not to go for hajj if it is farz is a sin. To speak lies, to gamble, to cheat, to fornicate, to commit adultery, to commit fraud, to watch this porn and read filthy magazines. Now all that is sin. So just in that one sentence, guna chhod do, everything is in there. There's a detail in there. But it will bring peace in the person's life. I haven't come across one person up till now who has found peace in sins. temporarily the person thinks that he is enjoying. Well, that is just like a person has got a rash. When he is scratching, then there's enjoyment. But if he goes on scratching after a little while, then there will be some blood. And if he goes on scratching further, it will turn septic. And then there may come a time when they say now it is gangrenous and it has to be amputated. So that rash, it is very enjoyable when the person is scratching. In the beginning, it's very enjoyable. As somebody said, na jalebi mein na kaleji mein maza hai, na jalebi mein na kaleji mein maza hai, jo hazrat-e khujli ko khujlane mein maza hai. That enjoyment you don't even get in jalebi and kaleji, what you get when you're scratching. But then after that, what does it lead to? So in the same way, that person will commit sins, there'll be enjoyment. He'll commit more sins, outwardly there'll be enjoyment. Until finally there'll be amputation. And when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala carries out that amputation, then it is very, very dangerous. The person will be cut off completely after that from all his enjoyment and all his pleasures. Just one musibat Allah ta'ala puts into that family, just one musibat into that person's life, just one musibat into his family's life, and all the TV programs are gone, and all the video movies are gone, and all the laughter and the giggling and the enjoyment that they were having, watching all that filth, everything suddenly disappears. Ask those persons who suffered tragic incidents in their lives, if they were involved in haram, watching of movies and video programs and all kinds of things, and there was no namaz, roza, zakat in their lives. After that, ask them, now where is all that gone? Why is it that at that time then we make Allah, Allah? One person who was held up whilst watching the television program, he told me himself. He says, Maulana, when that gun was put at my head, that TV screen, what was going on there? He says, we didn't even know what was going on. My wife and I, say, we just start screaming and shouting. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saved our lives. But he says, what you say, how true it is. That we say that we don't have the himmat to give it up. But when the gun was at the head, why at that time suddenly that himmat came? So we've got the himmat, we've got the courage, but we don't want to make use of it. Allah Ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So from that we learn very clearly that Allah Ta'ala does not place a burden upon any person more than what he can bear. So if it was not possible to stay away from haram, Allah Ta'ala would not have made it first to stay away from haram. If taqwa was difficult, if taqwa was not possible, then Allah Ta'ala would not have made taqwa first. That is a different thing, that our understanding of taqwa sometimes is this, that we must give up everything. Don't eat anything, don't drink anything, don't wear good clothes, don't live in good homes, don't travel in good cars, that's taqwa. That's not taqwa. Taqwa is to stay away from that which is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever is haram, you stay away from that with the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that is taqwa. Simple and easy. But then it will bring sukoon in the person's life. Then it will bring peace in the person's life. It will bring true enjoyment in the person's life. Again, that incident comes to mind. The Raza Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, Hakim Akhtar, jab main dal khata hoon, to mujhe biryani ka maza aata hai. Aur mujhe aisa malum hota hai ki har lukma mera khuda mere muh ke andar dal raha hai. Ha, what enjoyment they must be getting. If somebody's beloved picks up a morsel of food and puts into his mouth, he'll talk about it the whole day. And what enjoyment he got in there. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, I can see that my Allah is putting this morsel into my mouth. So he asked Hazrat, how can that be possible? He says, because the doll is from my Allah. And then this hand that is going from the plate to my mouth, who is it that is giving me that strength in my hand? If Allah Ta'ala paralyzes that hand, all the doctors of the world will fail to bring it up to my mouth. So it is my Allah who is picking it up and putting it into my mouth. He is feeding me. He says, I can see my Allah is feeding me. Now what enjoyment there must be in that? And as I say that we will be eating biryani, but because of all our anxieties, worries and restlessness and problems, we don't even get the maza and the taste of dal in our biryanis. So the real enjoyment, the Ahlullah got. The real enjoyment, the Allah Wala's got. Because they've got Allah in their hearts. That is the whole purpose of these type of gatherings and majlises, where we are going on and on with the same subject. The theme remains the same in this type of majlises, that we must give up our sins and connect ourselves with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we enjoy peace and happiness in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirat. The same thing. There's that one muqarrir, wherever he went, he only spoke on Karbala. Everywhere is just Karbala. If it's a nikah talk, then it's Karbala. If it is a mayyat, it's Karbala. If it is a Juma bayan, it's Karbala. That's the only subject he knew. So somebody asked him, he said that you don't speak on anything else, only on Shahadat of Imam Hussein, whatever the occasion. He says, who said I can't speak on other subjects? You give me the subject, I will speak on it. So he said, all right, make tafsir of Surah Ikhlas then. Qul huwa Allah. So he recited beautifully Surah Ikhlas. And then he said, this is Surah Ikhlas. On whom was it revealed? Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was the grandfather of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. And who was Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu? He was the one who became shaheed in Karbala. And he gave the whole speech on Karbala again. So our theme stays the same. Stay away from sins. Whichever way we'll bring it back to the same thing. Ke guna chhod do. Aur aaram se ro. Get sukoon in the lives. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that these are the essential conditions. Without that, a salik can never ever connect himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this was the first part of that speech that I gave there. Of course, it may be different words, but that was the essence of it. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, until next Monday, then we will continue with that. Make a lot of dua for my health. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me good health. And Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq of doing the khidmat of deen with ikhlas, solely for His pleasure and for no other worldly motive. May Allah ta'ala bless each and every one of you also with long life, good health, with happiness, with contentment, satisfaction, peace, tranquility, serenity, joy, with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Ey Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, humari khataon ko maaf farma, humari lagzishon se dargzar farma. ہمیں صحت دے, عافیت دے, عزت دے, سلامتی دے, راحت دے, مغفرت دے. اے اللہ, تیری ذات عالی پر توکل نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, تیری معرفت اور یقین نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, ہر گناہ کو تو معاف فرما. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands, of our feet, of our hearts and minds. O Allah, give us the himmat to give up sins in our lives. Ya Allah, connect us firmly with you, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, sare alam ke andar musalman, jahan kahin pareshan hai, unki pareshaniyon ko khatam farma. Palestine ke mujahideen ki madad aur nusrat farma. Masjid-e-Aqsa ki tu hifazat farma. اے اللہ, یہودی ظالم کے قبضے سے اس کو تو چھڑا لے. اے اللہ, مسلمانوں کو دوبارہ قبضہ عطا فرما دے. حرمین شریفین کی حفاظت فرما. سارے عالم کے اندر جو فتنے آ رہے ہیں, اے اللہ, ان فتنوں سے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما. جب ہمارا اس دنیا سے جانے کا وقت آ جائے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. اے اللہ, جو چلے گئے ان کو جنت الفردوس عطا فرما. اے اللہ, جن کا انتقال ہو گیا, ان کے ماں باپ اگر چلے گئے, بیوی بچے چلے گئے, جو بھی رشتہ داروں میں سے انتقال کر گیا, اے اللہ, ان سب کو جنت الفردوس عطا فرما, اور ان کے پسماندگان کو تو صبر جمیل اور اجر عظیم عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم, وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم. اللهم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منه نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك.